Good morning, Decatur, Illinois. This is the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church, located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. My name is Pastor Matthew Versemann, and I have the privilege of being Trinity's pastor. We'd like to invite you to join us for worship, especially if you don't have a church home. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15 a.m. each Sunday morning. We'd also like to know from our listeners if you would like us to continue broadcasting our messages on Sunday morning. If so, please contact our church at 217-422-3630. We'd love to hear from you. Let us begin today's broadcast or message in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is appropriate whenever we come into God's presence, and actually every day of our lives, that we confess our sins unto God our Father. And so let us do that. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of my sins, and I pray thee of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Amen. And I have the joy of telling you that God does love you, and he sent his Son Jesus to the cross to die for you. And Jesus did die for you. And therefore, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 20, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word of God that I'm going to use for today's message as we continue our series on prayer is from 1 Kings chapter 8, and it says, Solomon said, O Lord, hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel, and when they pray toward this place, hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Dear friends in Christ, so what is prayer? Prayer is tender, familiar speech. It's a father and child having a conversation. It's like a little child coming to his or her daddy and saying, Daddy, let's talk. A great image of prayer is that of God the Father receiving a phone call while he's seated in his lazy boy recliner reading the newspaper and watching the big game on TV. And when the phone rings in the next room, so Jesus, God's Son, gets up and answers the phone, then brings the phone to his father and says, Dad, you've got to take this. It's one of the family. So the father sits up in his recliner, puts down his coffee, lays aside his newspaper, turns off the TV, grabs the phone and says, Son, daughter, I'm so thankful that you've called me. What do you want to talk about? That's prayer. Johann Gerhard, one of the leading theologians of the Reformation at the time of Luther, he said this of prayer. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's beautiful. He said, prayer is conversation with God. It is a remedy for all the difficulties of life. It is free access to God in his heavenly throne room. It is a ladder to God. It is a shield of defense. It is refreshment in the heat of misfortune. It is medicine during an illness. It is a vessel that draws water from the font of God's grace. It is a sword against the devil. It is a wind that blows away storms and fears and doubts and brings earthly blessings. It is a great fortification for the soul. It is a spiritual feast and a heavenly delicacy in this wilderness we live in. It is a consolation for the dejected and a delight for the holy. It upholds the world. It rescues people and nations. It is a joy for the heart and a jubilation for the troubled mind. It follows God's gift of grace and leads into the very throne room of God. It is a garden of happiness and a tree full of delightful fruit. It calms the conscience. It increases thankfulness. It sends demons running and draws angels close. It binds the strong man Satan. It is a soothing remedy for the misfortunes of life and the sweet smell of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It is a foretaste of the life to come, of the divine conversation that we will all share with God in heaven face to face, and it so sweetens the bitterness of death. That is what prayer is. Again, let's ask again, what is prayer? Prayer is delivering our words to God's ears, and then God answers by delivering His words and promises to our ears. Prayer is cozy talk between a father and a child. When the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 6, "Lord, teach us to pray," Jesus answered them, saying, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who art in heaven.'" In giving us His Father's name, Jesus is putting us on a first name basis with God. And knowing someone on a first name basis gives you access to that person. But how dare we, poor, miserable sinners, speak to God in this way? How dare we be so bold, so cozy with God, the Almighty God, the Maker of heaven and earth, that we would dare to call Him Father? Here's why. Because Jesus said you could. And Jesus bled to death on a cross so that you could call upon Him as your Father, as adopted sons and daughters of God. So Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven." And there a tender invitation is given. God invites you to believe that He is your true Father and that you are His dear child, and to put your faith where your mouth is by calling Him Abba, Father, Daddy, with delight. To call God Father is to pray out of the relationship that God has already given to you through faith in Christ. In baptism, God placed faith in our hearts, Galatians 3, and adopted us by His Holy Spirit, Acts 2, and Romans 8 tells us, "You have received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." The late Dr. Francis Pieper of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, once wrote, "Christian prayer does not flow from our feelings. What is behind prayer is that a person who is dust, ashes, and a guilty sinner is invited and dares to speak with the majestic, all-holy God as a child talks with his or her daddy. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has engendered in him or her the saving faith for the sake of Christ, atoning sacrifice, that knows God is gracious to us. And this loving Father bids us to pray and promises to hear an answer, all because of Jesus. Thus, prayer flows from the good news that God is happy with you and forgiving of you for the sake of Christ's perfect righteousness and His forgiving death. There's no longer any barrier between us and God as we are in Christ Jesus our Savior. As Peter tells God's children, "Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you." But wait a second. Psalm 139 says, "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." But if God already knows what we're going to pray for or what we're going to ask Him, even before we pray, then why pray? Simple. What father or parent doesn't love to hear the voice of their children? Parents, do you remember the joy of hearing your child's first words? They were actually your words now echoing back to you from your child. Pretty soon we learn to mind our words because our child might repeat the wrong ones. But think of the joy your child's first words brought to you. Well, that is the joy your Heavenly Father has when we echo back to Him the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, Abba, Daddy. And we pray those words knowing, as Ephesians 2 tells us, in Christ and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. To which Hebrews 4 adds, therefore, since we have such a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So why don't we pray? Well, first, the spiritual forces of evil attack our attempts to pray. You see, the devil knows the power of prayer oftentimes better than we do, and he will do everything he can to sidetrack our prayers because he knows that our prayers to God for the sake of Christ will bind him and will cause his plans for us to not reach fruition. So don't be amazed at all of the distractions and interruptions that will happen when you try to pray. These are carefully orchestrated attempts by the enemy to keep you from calling on God, who has already defeated the devil. When we pray, God overpowers the spiritual forces of evil that hold us in bondage and tyranny. And we are invading enemy territory triumphantly in Christ when we pray. When you pray and the devil sticks your sins in your face and reminds you of your past, we should, in our prayers, just stick the cross of Jesus in his face and remind him of his future and keep on praying. Another obstacle to our praying is that we don't always recognize the fact that God really is, finally, our only hope in all of life. We buy into the misguided notion that we can handle most problems ourselves, and we only need God for the big problems, the emergencies. So, normally, we try everyone and everything else before turning to God. But James 4, verse 2 reminds us, you do not have because you do not ask. None of us have the resources to meet all of our needs, and one might argue any of our needs. But the Lord does have the resources. Luke 1 tells us nothing is impossible with God, and Matthew tells us all things are possible with God. This should drive us back to God in prayer, for it is God's will for us to pray, so that when He answers those prayers, we see clearly and again that He really is our only hope, who turns a tender heart to us because of Jesus. A third obstacle to prayer is we don't truly understand how much God loves us. We tend to think of God sort of like a grouchy, reluctant neighbor who is very unwilling to give us what we ask for. We refuse to believe that if He loved us enough that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to the cross to save us, there's nothing He wouldn't do for us. We think that since people aren't always there for us, well, God probably won't be there for us either. But He tells us in Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. But 1 Peter 5 again, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Luther said prayer is not overcoming a reluctant God, but laying hold of a most loving and willing God. A fourth obstacle to prayer is that we don't always or fully appreciate its power. That is, we do not truly trust in God's power or ability to take care of all things. But wait a second. This is the God who created the whole universe with just words, who knit us together in our mother's womb because He wanted us, whose love for us is strong enough for Him to suffer hell and die for us. This is the God who can split oceans and his people walk through on dry land, and with just a word causes the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak, the lame to walk, the lepers were cured, the dead were raised, who checked back out of his grave alive on his own power and ascended into heaven, where he kicked out our accuser, Satan, once and for all, and we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. And from God's throne, even now, Christ rules over all things for the sake of his church. And yet, with all that said, functionally, we live as if God isn't powerful enough to help me with my gout or gossip, my crabgrass or cancer, my allergies or angina. Nothing could be further from the truth. The father of a demon-possessed boy cried out to Jesus in Mark 9, "Lord, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus replied, "If you can, everything is possible for him who believes in me." His father replied, "Lord, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, "Come out of him and never enter him again." And the spirit came out with a shriek. And finally, a final obstacle to prayer is that we give up far too quickly. In Luke 11, Jesus said, "Everyone who asks receives." But in the Greek, what it really says is, "Everyone who keeps on asking receives." James 4 reminds us, "You do not have because you do not ask." George Muller, years ago, who started the New Orphan House in Bristol, England, was a man of prayer. And he said, "Never give up until God's answer comes. I have been praying every day for 52 years now for two men, sons of a friend of mine, to believe. And they are not converted yet, but they will be." Wow, that's bold faith. And that's bold prayer. And guess what? One of those two men became a Christian when he heard the sermon that was preached at George Muller's funeral. And the other man, a few years later, "Never give up on the God who can do all things and answer all your prayers in his own time and in his own way for your good." So, why pray? Well, think of it like this. How much has God given to us without our prayers? He's given us our body and soul, our reason, all our members, every gift that we have in life itself, because he wanted us. And after we sinned, he even gave us his own son into death on the cross to forgive us and remove every barrier between us and God so that we could live with God in his kingdom forever. And we will. Now, since God has done this much and given this much, even before we asked him to, can you imagine what he will give us or you when you ask? Psalm 37, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Everything we could possibly ask for is insignificant compared to the fact that Jesus bled to death on a cross one Good Friday to make us God's children and to make God our loving Father. And God's goodness and power is limitless. What good thing would he deny his children? Romans 8 says, "If God did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also, along with Christ, graciously give us all things?" Psalm 145 says, "He fulfills the desires of those who fear him." And as God's child, all of our desires and prayers should flow from a faith that prays for and wants our Father's will to be done. Jesus has removed every obstacle that would keep God from loving us or taking care of us or blessing us. And so 2 Corinthians 9 promises, "And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound in every good work." In Christ, did you know that not only did God the Father promise that he will faithfully hear our prayers, but even better, did you know that Jesus swore on oath that God would answer our prayers. In John 16, verse 23, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you." Now, that's actually sort of what you would do if you were saying an oath. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Finally, what also assures us that God favorably hears our prayers is Christ's own intercession for us. Romans 8:34 says, "Christ Jesus, who died, and more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." And 1 John 2:1 says, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." You tell me, what will the Heavenly Father deny his own beloved Son, who is even now interceding on our behalf? What will our gracious Savior not obtain by the power and merit of his own redemption accomplished on the cross? All of heaven stands open to Christ. All of the Father's heart stands open to Christ. Will the Father not hear him? Of course he will. Will he refuse Christ anything? No, he won't. Not at all. And Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to his great power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever." In closing, is it necessary to pray? Well, this may surprise you, but not necessarily. Not if all you want is the stuff that God generally grants to both the wicked and the righteous. Luther's Small Catechism says, "God's name is hallowed even without our prayer. God's kingdom comes even without our prayer. God's will is done even without our prayer. Daily bread arrives even without our prayer." But if you want these things to be done in you and for you and in your life, God tells us to pray. But who enjoys a forced conversation? So why pray? Well, think of it like this. Why engage in pillow talk with your spouse when you're going to see him or her at breakfast? Why tell your spouse, "I love you," when you already told them on your wedding day? Why call mom or dad when you really don't have anything to talk about? Isn't all that just silly, foolish, cozy talk? Perhaps. But only dysfunctional families refuse to talk to each other. To not pray reveals that you have a dysfunctional relationship with your Heavenly Father, when he wants you to have a healthy, functional relationship, and that's why Jesus bled and died. It is actually the non-necessity of prayer that is our invitation to live like children of the Heavenly Father. God doesn't want to be just a vending machine waiting for you to plug in the right combination of prayers and praise, and then out pops a 12-ounce blessing. No, prayer is a child talking to a loving daddy. Prayer echoes back to our Abba, the relationship God gave us in baptism. As Solomon did, Christ invites all of us to call God our Father with delight. This is an invitation to be bold in our prayers, not whimpering and whining, not doubting and hoping, but as bold and certain as Christ's death and resurrection are for you, as bold as knowing that Jesus himself is before the Father right now interceding on your behalf. God's favor is not in doubt. He is your Father, and you are his child. That's why we pray. Luther once said, "Prayer is climbing into your daddy's lap, telling him what's on your mind, and then falling asleep in his loving arms. Amen." And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today through Jesus Christ. We know that in Jesus' shed blood on the cross, we are forgiven, and that by his righteousness, we also have access into your very presence, and into your family, and into your home. And we know that you're our Abba, our Daddy, our Father, for we've received the Spirit of adoption who lives in us, by whom we cry out, "Abba, Father." Oh, Abba, Father, we pray that you'll continue to work in us by your Holy Spirit a strengthened prayer life, where we don't look to our own resources, but we look to the Holy Spirit to help us pray, to Jesus Christ, our Savior, who's interceding on our behalf as our access to you. Help us to look to the resources the Spirit and your Son give us, that we may then want to and desire to always call upon you in prayer for all that we need. And so especially this day, we pray more than ever that above all you will forgive our sins and continue to give us life that never ends until one day you give us salvation in heaven. And we ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. We thank you again for tuning in to the weekly radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue on the southeast side of Decatur. Our Sunday morning worship is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15. We'd like to invite you to join us for worship. If you have been listening to these radio broadcasts and assuming and hoping they've been a blessing to you, then we ask that you would let us know about that by contacting our church at 217-422-3630 so that we know if there is the desire for us to continue these radio broadcasts. And now go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.